Host your holiday party at Apex Entertainment this year. Book early and save. Receive a $15 Apex gift card for each guest with holiday parties booked before October 1st. With flexible event space, attractions, and customizable menus, Apex is the perfect holiday party destination. For more information, contact the sales team or go to apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I wanted to ask you about Mac Jones. I was looking at his stats, and it seems like he's made pretty steady improvement in almost all of his stats between September and October. Do you feel like you've seen steady improvement for him throughout the season?
I think Mac has made progress in basically everything we're trying to do. I know we've hit some stretches, you know, periodically in games where we've, you know, we went through a little dry spell in LA there, you know, where we had a few incompletions that we would like to have hit. But I think Mac is working really hard to try to master and improve in all levels of quarterback play. And I keep telling myself this too, because I think it's important for us to keep perspective. These are his first 9 games in the NFL. And, you know, we ask a lot of the quarterback position mentally. We ask a lot of the quarterback position after the ball's been snapped. And sometimes I see a lot of progress in things that don't necessarily show up in the stat sheet. And so I just feel like each day is an opportunity for him to grow and improve. And I think it's really important that we don't measure. I'm not worried about measuring him right now. You know, I think every day and every week is an opportunity to make progress. You know, 3 years from now, you know, you can start talking about enough of a sample size to look back and see where we've really grown and measure from rookie year to some other year. But right now we're in the middle of his rookie year. And so I think daily progress is the goal. Mac's work ethic and attitude have been tremendous. And I know that he's looking forward to getting ready for this week too.
Josh McDaniels, short time ago on his regular weekly press availability. Again, you're getting more out of him on a regular basis than Bill. You got to wade through all the words. Wordy cat, that Josh McDaniels. But I thought he had an interesting point there. Do our best not to measure him. You know, in 3 years, you can look back and say there's a sample and there's growth from year one to year two. In 3 years, there's a body of work, you know, who's good, who can play, who can't play. Like, I get it. We have a talk show to do on a daily basis. So we have to show up every day and do a talk show. I understand Josh's point, but it doesn't really work for us to say, get back to me in 3 years. We have... we have
I try.
Something on the order of 600 shows.
Jimmy won't let me.
No, it's about right, 600 shows.
Yeah, it's about 200 show, 240 working days a year times three, you know, so minus days off, et cetera, you know. So we're looking at, we got another 600 shows to fill before we get to Josh McDaniels' sample. It doesn't work, so we got to go on a daily basis. I feel like he's, I don't know if it's hit a rookie wall or plateaued. That's a word that Greg used earlier. I just think the last couple games, I thought he was on a trajectory a little bit there. I thought they had started to you know, build something and become a little more dynamic offensively. I'm not going to say explosive, but a little more. I mean, I thought they moved the ball well against Dallas and they put up points against the Jets. And I just felt there was an arc there. And I feel like the last 2 weeks, it's kind of ground to a halt.
Well, with Tampa, Dallas, the Jets game, it felt like he was really involved more in these games. These last two, he's kind of a sidecar.
So, and I just feel that, and I feel, and Greg mentioned this too, I feel somewhere there in L.A., he got sped up, and I don't feel he's slowed back down yet. And I just feel the last 2 weeks have been, most of his production is dump-offs to running backs, and there are some good balls in there for sure. The touchdown to Hunter Henry was a terrific pass, and he had some good plays, you know, in and around what's really just been a bunch of errant throws and dump-offs to the running backs. And that's been the last couple of weeks. I don't know what that means going forward. I'm horrible at predicting the future, but that's just what I've seen the last couple of weeks.
Even, you know, the Bolden pass, which I gave him plus four, earlier in the season, he's throwing that in stride to James White. I think there was another back that he threw the same pass to. And that one, Bolden kind of had to turn around and spin around. I mean, still a good pass, but I think he's been better. I think it goes to your, you know, he's speeding up. I had a couple of passes where I thought he was just too fast. Like, there's no pressure. Stay there. Let it develop a little bit more and get rid of it. And to go to your point about that he has slid a little bit, next-gen stats at NFL.com has a tool that I just like to look at after every game. And it's the difference between expected completion percentage, which I don't know how they calculate it. I'm not a nerd. And actual completion percentage. And so, for example, Mac Jones was a plus 4.9 in week one against the Dolphins. So according to how tight the coverage was
he actually did better than what you would typically have expected.
Better than the average, which that's really good. Most weeks, the top guy is probably about 10, but anything positive is good. And so four was really good. The Tampa game, he was 4.6. Good. Houston game, 8.7. Going up. Dallas, 8.4. The Jets, minus 1.5. What was the game before?
Chargers.
This? Chargers. Minus 11.7. This week, minus 0.3. I mean, that's, you know, he was about average, but he didn't have to do much. But to give you evidence that he has backslid a little bit.
Definitely.
There it is.
Yeah, again, it just means there are passes he should be completing that he's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what that metric is.
Greg, send me that link.
Yeah, so look, I think it's apparent when you see the ball. Like, look at some of the balls on the sidelines in particular where they're not even close. I mean, he's missing guys by a mile for him. And so I think he's skidding.
You know, and I just feel like qualifying this because I'm not dumping on the guy.
No, of course not.
I think overall, mm-hmm. you have to be pleased with how he's played and hung in there this year. And I think he was a good pick, and he's had a good year, and overall my feelings on him are positive. But just keeps it real, as we like to say, Murray. You know, I do not think he's leading him to victories these last couple of weeks. I do not think he's been a big factor. In fact, I think he may just have backslid a little bit, which is going to happen for a rookie. And, you know, I don't know how you can make the claim that you say that he's improved. I mean, if you want an example of someone who's improved, if you watched the game last night, the Chicago Bears game, and if you watch it to the end like I did, Justin Fields feels like he's made a little bit of a move here. I mean, he had some plays and some field generalship and was just a factor last night, especially towards the end when the game was on the line, that you had to sort of stop yourself and say, oh, wow. You know, I watched some of his early games. I think the Packers may have gotten him a couple weeks ago as well. I felt like I'm seeing really real progress from him. I haven't seen that from Mac Jones. And so, which is just what it is. And there's extenuating circumstances for sure. Fields was in a position last night. He had to go down the field with 2 minutes left, and he did. But Jones hasn't really been put in that spot recently, and so we don't see him in that position. And certainly this last game, all he had to do was hand off, and Sam Darnold was going to give you the game, which is what happened. So I'm not telling you it's all apples to apples. It's just, I think Fields has taken another step, and I don't know if Mac Jones has yet.
I'm definitely listening to the right station today. Look, so wait.
He didn't like that.
So Justin Fields is completely horrible in his first start. And for that reason, pretty much alone from what you've said, it felt like he's improved. Yeah, from being terrible in his first start. So he's improved, which means Mac Jones sucks because he was really good in his first start, and now he's just mediocre in these.
Did you watch the game last night?
I watched the highlights because okay, I can't watch those two teams.
All
right, they're wretched.
So, I mean, I don't mean to, like, you don't have to watch every single game every night, but if you had watched the game.
I saw some of his throws. Some of them were great. He makes plays with his feet. He's dynamic outside of the pocket.
I'm not telling you that I want Fields over Jones. I'm just telling you he's made a move. Fields has made a move.
Which he should. It's just Mac Jones, to me, has been consistent. And here's the thing with the Patriots and Mac Jones. We knew this is what we've seen out of Mac Jones is probably largely the better part of what we expected out of him. That what he's done so far, he's been pretty good. We just expected the offensive line to be better, the running game, the defense, and that has come on. And now Mac Jones can be sort of slowly brought along. I still think he's making the key plays when you need them, which is the essential thing. And I think he's still doing that. And so I don't think he's regressed in terms of the team dynamic itself. I just think that, you know, has he gotten sped up? Yeah, but that's going to happen, and also the long schedule. You know, not much was asked of Justin Fields for a while. A lot has been asked of Mac Jones for a while.
I mean,
let's get him to the bye week. Let's see what happens, and then the stretch run. Look, we all know the season is coming up with who they have on the schedule. Let's see. I mean, I think Mac Jones is in a really good position. I think the team is in a better place to have him be successful, and let's see what happens.
See, you shouldn't have to apologize for having a real conversation.
So, boy, do people get their backs
no,
up quickly.
No, and I don't mean you, Greg. I'm talking about because again, I mean, I don't.
But I think the other side is wrong too.
I don't disagree with the point that Jones started at a higher place. Yes, absolutely. Fields is playing way better than he was 5 weeks ago.
Way better. I'm sorry. Jones has not played as well as Justin Fields played in the fourth quarter last night. He just hasn't.
Holy crap. Some of those throws, he throws a better ball than I thought.
I mean, it's just a fact.
And
I'm not telling you I want Justin Fields over Mac Jones.
I don't even want to go down this road.
I mean, if you didn't watch it, Greg, it's hard
no,
to really...
I watched the highlights, and I saw his whatever throws. They're on the highlight package, and I watched it. And this is just typical of you. This is you. You are seduced by talent. That's all you care about. You don't care.
No,
you
not
don't
really.
Care about
no, not at the quarterback
position.
You know,
you
not.
And your Woody for Josh Allen.
It's
all
just
you
the opposite.
Care about
it's just
is
the opposite.
How they look.
I actually don't like talent.
The plays that they make.
I'm anti-talent. I like scrubby, jaggy quarterbacks.
I'm a slut for talent.
Those who I like.
And let alone the Steelers can't cover in the back end if you block them. They suck in the secondary.
I want Mac Jones over Justin Fields. Still.
Mac Jones has played two much tougher defenses the past 2 weeks than Justin Fields has seen.
Aren't the Steelers, though, first-ranked defense in the league?
If you block them. Did you listen?
I'm just going by the numbers. And I'll own it. I'd rather have Justin Fields.
Mike, don't you know you can't say anything remotely critical about Mac Jones?
Well, and that's the thing. Like the people on the other side, like the Patriots fans or
what's
some people
side?
In the media,
now I've lost what side we're on. Yeah, but go ahead.
No, but the people who were like, you know, they would make, look, I defended Mac Jones for a while, like against the likes of Chris Gasper early on. And I'm like, why are you going after a guy who's played like three games in his career? Why don't you just wait until the end of the season? We could judge it.
Here we go.
You know, but there are other people who...
We have a show to do.
I'm trying to make a point.
We have a show to do today, Greg.
But, you know, those people held the fort for a while. They're like, you know, defend Mac Jones. You shouldn't do this. They're wrong. Look at this stat. Look at that stat. And then all of a sudden he starts struggling a little personally. And they still every week put out, well, look at this stat. Look how great he is compared to every other rookie quarterback. Like, just stop. All right? Don't go overboard in one direction.
I'm not doing any of this. I'm not on any side of that thing. I'm just telling you, Mac Jones has never had a quarter like Fields did last night. Yet. It's so early. But
he brought him back in two games in the fourth quarter, going back and forth, and the defense didn't hold. I not there?
We're going to have to start treating him like Paulie in a truck.
I mean, I don't know.
Shut up the whole time.
I just don't know how you could have watched last night and say Mac Jones has done that.
I'm just not going to let his nonsense go that he talks about Justin Fields plays one quarter and he watches him and he makes a few throws rolling out of the pocket. It's just like, oh, he's awesome.
I didn't say he was awesome.
Yeah, you did.
I said Mac Jones is yet to
I did. I mean, I'll own that again. One guy's exciting, one guy's
the guy
on board.
In the closet over there.
Yeah.
Mac Jones has yet to have a quarter like Fields had last night. That's just a fact.
Did they not score a touchdown on a, block kick or a fumble?
Yeah.
But they scored one touchdown.
I'm not factoring that in.
Okay.
I'll tell you, you know what
I mean, this isn't that hot of a take.
Hang on. Let me go look at his stats in the fourth quarter. I'll tell you what I like about Fields.
And this goes back to him at Ohio State. He's tough.
He's great. I love Justin Fields.
No, I mean, everyone could see it too. Riddick said it in the booth. He said, you know, if Pittsburgh doesn't get to him, they're in deep trouble because you could see it. Fields got hot. He heated up, and he started making plays with the game on the line against a good defense on the road on Monday Night Football. I'm sorry that happened.
7 of 12, 120 yards. Ben was 9 of 12, 87 yards.
I'm sorry that happened.
Man, that was awesome.
I didn't do it.
Timer.
I wasn't on the field. It just happened, I'm not responsible for it. I'm just telling you what actually happened. That's what happened.
Just remember, if you say anything positive about anyone who's not wearing a Patriot uniform,
I'll forget that didn't happen. I didn't watch. Mac Jones is awesome.
7 of 12, 120 yards. Let me see if I can find if Mac Jones had a fourth quarter like that this year.
He's a tough kid.
I'll be back.
Fields a tough.
He's a good leader. Now, again, I don't know if he can play, if he's going to be a bust or not. I have no idea, but I'll tell you what, he's tough.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. Maybe Mac, I don't know if Mac Jones has ever really been in that position. I mean, the coaches didn't let him. He was kind of in that position, Dallas and Tampa, and the coaches, you know, kept his diapers on. I don't blame Mac Jones for that.
And they gave him his pass.
Mac Jones, fourth quarter against Dallas, 4 of 7, 100 yards. Basically the same in, like, you know, half the amount of attempts as Justin, Justin Fields.
Why are you getting so defensive?
I don't know. It's crazy,
it's
right?
Just because his point is ridiculous. That just because
that
Justin Fields
had a good fourth
was
quarter?
Like, what do you have? Like,
it's
a
really
negative
that,
passer rating in his first game?
Of a take.
All of a sudden, like, Justin Fields is better than Mac Jones.
He's part of the woke Mac media.
Seriously. I'm sorry he had a good. I'm sorry I brought it up. Never mind. You know, horrible fourth quarter. Mac Jones. Brady. We'll just do it with Mac Jones.
5 of 6 in the fourth quarter against Houston. 60 yards. A touchdown.
Yeah, you're doing it again.
147.9.
10 questions with Bedard right after this.
Team Gaspar.
This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Coastal Heritage Bank. At Coastal Heritage Bank, they have the privilege of being a community bank committed to enriching the lives of their neighbors, including helping customers become homeowners. Visit CoastalHeritageBank.com to learn about their comprehensive line of mortgage products, including their first-time homebuyer program. Coastal Heritage Bank, growing together. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender, NMLS number 45145.
Felger and Mazz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we're late because Bedard got all hot and bothered last segment. 10 questions. We'll probably spread it over 2 segments. We still have to stay on time. What are our buzzer options, Jimmy?
I don't think we lack confidence.
Thank you, Bill. Next.
When you're having fun, it doesn't feel like work.
Whee!
I think the fun comes in winning.
See, it's a campaign, man. We're fun here, man. You want to come here. It's a fun place to be. Go.
Yeah. I didn't do anything. I didn't touch any passes or cover anybody. We don't want that.
No, we don't. He's making jokes now. Next.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Patrice Bergeron, you're welcome. You're welcome. Bruins fans, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Love it. Next. You're such a liar, liar face. Yeah, they suck. He sucks. That quarterback sucks. That coach sucks. Suck, suck, suck.
Did they have a defensive penalty now that you mention it?
One more. They are absolutely freaking denudered or neutered, as the case may be. Hit it, Jimmy. Give me one.
Do they have a defensive penalty now that you mention it?
Number 10, your thoughts on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Huh. Interesting. Huh. Lost to the Jaguars without scoring a touchdown. Interesting. I will say this. Turnover-worthy plays so far this year. Highest percentage. Zach Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Davis Mills, Sam Darnold, Tyler Heineke, Trevor Lawrence, Ben Roethlisberger, Justin Fields, Josh Allen. Nice company, Mr. MVP. Again, we will see at the end of the season where Josh Allen and the Bills are. But I'm very comfortable where I am right now.
Again, that was a long answer. Boy, it's all well and good to say we'll see what it is at the end of the season. We have a show to do today, Greg. Yeah. Sorry.
Can I give you my something. Answer?
Yes, today. Yes,
Josh
today.
Allen? Okay, here you go. They're not good enough to be taking games off, which they've done the last 2 weeks. But when they want to play, the Bills, they're still really good.
They got to run the ball more.
Yeah, can't run. O-line has issues. Josh Allen might stink. They're vulnerable.
Next. Yeah, they suck. He sucks. That quarterback sucks. That coach sucks. Your thoughts on Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers?
Start looking for the next quarterback. He ain't it. He's scared. He doesn't have it. At least bring in competition for when Rodgers, whatever he does, leaves on a UFO after the season. I don't know. But bring him competition.
P.U. He stinks. He stinks.
So I thought raw. I thought you could see some talent on some of those bootleg plays, but you need to see more.
Okay, scary. Scary if you're a Packer fan, like old Felger here. But I'm not giving up. I'm going to put lipstick on the pig because I just don't want to confront the reality of having to go back into the draft or something. So I'm just going to say that tough environment, not the toughest defense, but that building's tough. Spagnuolo sent the kitchen sink, if you watch the game. Yep. I mean, he just sent everybody. It's not like LaFleur helped him out with any, you know, beaters to get out of that, to get him out of the blitz. And he crapped himself. Boy, some of those balls, some of those throws, I made the allusion to trying to teach my 9-year-old daughter how to throw the football on the beach. Like, she holds it on the wrong side. And like some of those balls were freaking frightening. So I'm not telling you it was good. I just can't stand the other guy so much that I'm not willing to give up on Jordan Love. Next.
I think the fun comes in winning.
Your thoughts on Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, Greg?
There's something not right with him. I don't think he's quite over the turf toe. They also need to run the ball more, but he's not good right now.
No, he's not right. I mean, you can see it too. If you watch closely between plays, he's not walking right. Mm-hmm. His gait is not right. And so I don't know if it's that he can't finish the throw, because you see how many balls he whips now that are into the turf or that end up at a guy's feet? He's missing low constantly.
And besides the toe, I think he's still playing too much backyard football, and he's quick to leave the pocket. He's uncomfortable unless he's making big chunk plays.
Next.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Patrice Bergeron, you're welcome. You're welcome. Bruins fans, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Your thoughts on the Cassius March taunting penalty last night?
How many goals did you have?
I had one. Maz had one.
Okay.
That was a plus two.
I thought, I'm glad they threw it. I thought he invited it. He was being a tool bag just like he is, like he's always been in his career. Here, everywhere else. Of course, nobody said anything about it here, but he's just a complete tool. Throw the flag, get him out of there.
I think the ref should be suspended for that hip check. I think he should. That to me is as low as it gets. The referee should never interject himself into the game, ever. And that guy did.
Yeah, and his name is Tony Correnti, and he's a crook, and he should be in prison.
Is he actually a crook?
Yeah, I think he was on the take last night for Pittsburgh or the league to make sure that they won. I think it was that dirty, yes.
Okay. I'm glad they threw the flag on him. Cassius Marsh is a first-class tool bag. And I don't mind the hip check nearly as much as everybody else. Marsh asked for that, too.
Yep.
Marsh is shaking his ass, you know, there at midfield on a coverage sack. This guy's a scrub. He's a street guy. He's barely on a team. They just claimed him off waivers or something the day before or something. Like, we know this guy. He blows. He's barely an NFL player. He walks into a coverage sack, shakes his ass for about 5 seconds in the middle of the field, and then starts taunting the other sideline like, oh, don't you feel stupid for letting me go? No, we don't feel stupid for letting you go. You suck. And then he runs right by Correnti. Like, Correnti's looking at him like, you know, Cassius, you freaking idiot. We now throw taunting flags. And Cassius Marsh is swinging his leg and shaking his ass and mean mugging the Pittsburgh bench. And then he turns around and runs right at Correnti. F you. Throw the flag. Fine him. I have no problem with Correnti whatsoever, almost in any situation. We'll pick up this and the rest of the 10 questions after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Did they have a defensive penalty now that you mention it?
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham. What?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Roethlisberger empty spread. Takes the snap. Has time. Edwards almost got him. They do finally bring him down. The sack is made. And it's Cassius Marsh, the ex-Steeler, in his Bears debut. Gets to Ben Roethlisberger, working off a block, finishes the job, and now a penalty marker. And please tell me that's not going to be a taunting on Marsh as the Steelers are getting ready to punt with 3:16 to go in the game.
Conclusion of the play. Taunting. Defense number 59. 15-yard penalty will create a first down.
Wow. Unnecessary. Ridiculous in every way, shape, and form. I just said, play smart. Inexcusable. You got the Steelers off the field in a 3-point game. Enough with this stuff already.
I don't know what he's doing. He's just, all he's doing is staring at the Pittsburgh Steelers sideline.
Just play-by-play that Cassius Marsh thing. I mean, everyone's up in arms about the rule. I get it. It's silly, ticky-tack, but they're calling it. Everyone knows they're calling it, and this guy decides at midfield on the 50-yard line in front of, right in front of the ref, in front of everybody, to shake his ass and kick his leg and mean mug the other sideline? This effing scrub? Oh, get out of here. I'm glad he threw a flag at him.
Same guy the Patriots gave up a fifth. The Patriots traded a fifth-round pick and a seventh-round pick for that guy.
I mean, the rule's the rule. We can bitch about it. I'm with you, but the focus should be on the clown who did. Like, good God. Anyway, we're late. Next, six. Hit it.
I don't think we lack confidence.
Name one offensive play that you watch in the sport of football that bores you. If you never see a team run this play again, you'll be just fine with it. I have one. That's why I asked this question.
The toss play. I hate it. It rarely ever works.
To the running back? You mean just a toss. Crack toss, the pitch? Okay.
I know which one you're going to pick, so I'm going to pick something else. Quarterback sneak.
How do you know what I'm going to pick? But I'll be impressed if you know.
End zone fade. Ban the end zone fade forever. It never works. It's a waste of a down, and every dopey offensive coordinator still loves the thing.
Write it down. Like this is a Jeopardy, and we'll see if you have it right, okay? Quickly, just write it down.
Okay, go.
Okay, my one is the wide receiver screen. The wide receiver screen. What'd you write, Maz?
End zone fade.
Nope, sorry. Wide receiver screen. I am bored to effing tears with the wide receiver screen. I'm sick of it. Talk about a play that I don't think ever works now. It's a college play. It's meant for college.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are too fast at the NFL level. If you're too chicken bleep to throw the ball down the field because you hate your quarterback or whatever, then hand the ball off and punt.
Do you see the one that got blown up between Tennessee and the Rams the other night?
Like, yes. Missile came flying in there. But more often than not, that's what happens. Some fastest blazes defensive back sniffs it out, flies in there, and it's a two-yard loss. And even if it works a little bit, it's a boring play. It's a boring, boring play. I am sick to death of the wide receiver screen. I don't know why I'm so angry about it. I'm probably not, but I'm just... I hate the play. Next.
I think you're really mad at Greg.
Yeah, I am.
When you're having fun, it doesn't feel like work.
No, it's all fun. Wee! Tool bag question of the week. Who's the biggest tool bag head coach in the NFL right now, currently?
Dan Campbell.
Urban Meyer.
Joe Judge.
Okay, lots of candidates. Next. They are absolutely freaking denudered. Or just neutered. bonus tool bag question. Who's the biggest Cleveland Brown tool bag of all time?
Art Modell.
Bill Belichick.
Kellen Winslow Jr.
Okay, Winslow Jr. is—it's hard to beat that guy. But I was hoping for some Belichick action on that question.
Yeah, no, I'll fulfill that.
Next,
did they have a defensive penalty? Now that you mention it,
Who's your favorite Cleveland Brown of all time?
Eric Metcalf.
Eric Metcalf. Ooh. I had him on mine too.
Wow,
I loved that guy. Mm-hmm. Loved him.
Call it recency bias, but I love Myles Garrett. I think he's an absolute beast.
Okay, why am I? I didn't even bother to answer the question, but now that I think of it, who is the? Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome.
I loved him as a player. Next. Yeah, they suck. He sucks. That quarterback sucks. That coach sucks. Okay, who is your favorite NFL commercial actor? What player does the best job in his TV spots?
Active players, Baker Mayfield. I think I like those commercials. Sorry, I like them.
Peyton Manning. Manning's great at him. He is. He's really good at those spots. Very endearing. I like him.
Hated him as a player, but I liked him as a commercial actor. Troy Polamalu. He was always good in those hair commercials.
I think he's useless in those hair commercials. All he has is hair. I don't know his range. I don't know if he's got any wit or any chops.
He was kind of witty in those.
Baker Mayfield's the answer. I like those spots, mm-hmm. too.
He's good at those commercials. I knew that's what you were looking for.
Of course. It's the Cleveland Browns week, so yes, there was definitely an agenda to that question. I think, and even his wife, like, I think, they did a good little job on those spots. They got good wit. They've got a good little something there. Almost everyone mm-hmm. works for me.
Papa Bear, hut, hut!
Last one, hit it.
I didn't do anything. I didn't touch any passes or cover anybody. We don't want that.
Speaking of Baker Mayfield, remember his agent telling us that the Patriots were hot on him in 2018? It's since been confirmed by Mayfield and others. The Patriots in the 2018 draft were looking to trade up to the second pick in case he fell past Cleveland at number one. This was the Giants. They had the second overall pick at the time. The Patriots that year had two first-round picks. This was the year they took Wynn and Michelle. And they were also looking to trade Rob Gronkowski, which may have given them more ammo to trade up and take Baker Mayfield. Here's a question. I know. I'm sorry. It's a long one. Would you rather have Baker Mayfield right now or the last 2 years of Gronkowski, Sony Michel, and Isaiah Wynn?
So wait, can I ask a question? Where is Brady in all this? What do they do with Brady?
Don't worry about that.
Because Gronk's not going anywhere without Brady.
Well, yeah, he blew up the trade. They wanted to trade him, and the owner stepped in, and they blew up the trade. This is just a fantasy question. Should they have drafted Baker Mayfield back then?
I wouldn't have traded the Super Bowl for this trade.
Yes, they should have drafted Mayfield. Yes, absolutely, 100%.
I don't like Mayfield.
No, because it would have cost them that last title, so no.
I'm a yes. I'm a yes on Baker Mayfield.
I'm a big picture guy. What can I tell you? I'm sorry. I think long term.
I mean, Baker Mayfield now, I'm less hot on, but if Bill Belichick had him as a rookie and he got to sit for a year or so and Bill could knock all the crap out of him, you know, all the bad habits that he has as a player, I think he'd be good here. I think he'd be, you know, Garoppolo, but better. You know what I mean?
You're just excited that they would have had a succession plan.
Yes, I like the succession plan, Greg. Even if it sucks like Jordan Love, I like the succession plan. I do. All right, long commercial segment next to your calls.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Patrice Bergeron, you're welcome. You're welcome. Bruins fans, you're welcome. You're welcome.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Kreit explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.
Yeah, no, everything goes their way every single time.
I mean, it is. It's unbelievable.
I can tell you're happy about it.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh, Tampa Bay Murray.
Well, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Seriously.
Murray, what's the statute of limitations on the Brady thing? Like, come on.
When he goes away and retires. I'm all in on Brady until further notice.
I hope Pat Nation rejects you.
Plus 3 years.
I'm with Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy doesn't want this to go away. It's
no,
too good.
No, but Murray says he'll give it up when Brady goes. No, he won't.
Because Murray originally said first year I'll beat Tampa Bay, then I'll come back to the Patriots. That didn't happen.
No, Murray's never letting this go.
And please. You know what, Murray? You will never come back because you know why? Patriots fans suck.
Oh, well, that too.
They're a bunch of freaking babies that make you not want to root for them. Yeah. You don't want their... I'm fine with the Patriots, the actual team themselves.
They're
fine. It's you people. You make us not want to root for the team. And so I think Murray will never come back.
Yeah, probably.
I think you're right, Mess. That's it. It's over.
No, right. You make us want to root against you.
Right.
Is what you do.
The team's fine. It's you I have the issue with. Greg, thanks for coming in, pal.
See you guys.
See you, big bois.
Do yourself a favor. Put on the DVR and watch that fourth quarter in its totality.
I can't wait to be blown away by Justin Fields.
You will be actually amazed how freaking incompetent and brutal the Chicago Bears are as a football team.
I did notice that in the
lined up in the neutral zone twice. Twice in a row on the game-winning drive. Lined up in the neutral zone. And then took it offsides, and then Pittsburgh had a false start. Like, it's a clown show, the way those two teams are coached, and Mike Tomlin's one of the good ones. So, like, you will notice that as well. But just pay attention to Justin Fields. He had a good fourth quarter. As much as you want to deny it. All right, here comes Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. We have some developing opinions on the Celtics and the Ben Simmons rumors and all of this, so don't go anywhere.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Kreit explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.